shit from the
You're gonna hate me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air, good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Woo! This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, what is up? I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is,
as always, his voice of reason, JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky, joined today by a couple of special guests. And when you listen to their podcast, you might hear something like this. Mr. Kalen Harris and Burke Beasy. Franklin, what is up, guys?
What's up, man? Thank y'all for having us.
What's up, guys? How are we today?
Good. We're good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I listen to your podcast quite a bit, and I always hear the jump, and I was like, I gotta get this. And I didn't want to copy like exactly you guys, so I had to find a little remix. But yeah, to bring you guys in,
love it.
How's everything going?
Good, man. Good. Yeah. It's,
well, I'm doing real good after that Bengals game.
big W for the Bengals. Burke and I are both Bengals fans. Kentucky jumped
across spots
in the polls.
I'm sorry.
So, hey, you need to be sorry this year, baby. Everybody's be sorry this year.
I'm a Packers fan, so and my Packers won.
Nobody can make a field goal to save their lives.
Right.
Who does JD like? Is he probably a Steelers fan?
Hey,
hell no.
He's a Browns fan.
I'm a Browns fan.
Well, that's all right then. I can live with that.
So he's salty as hell, right about it.
The Browns won Thursday night. So they may have looked like ass the 2 weeks prior to that,
right?
Against the Chargers and Arizona, but they won Thursday night with their backup quarterback. So
right, that's true.
And the defense looked better, which is third string running back.
Yeah, he looked good though,
and he ran for almost 150 yards. So yeah. The defense. I was more concerned about what I'd see from the defensive side of the ball from the Browns, because that's been the issue really the last couple of weeks.
Right.
So the defense looked better. There wasn't any breakdowns. Still wasn't as much pressure on the quarterback as I'd like to see. But, you know, when Jadeveon Clowney and Garrett are a little banged up like they are, and you were missing a couple other guys from the defensive line, it's all right.
The Browns are kind of my second favorite team, honestly, man. I lived in Cleveland for 2 years, and I had season tickets for those years. I mean, the Bengals are still my favorite team. Browns, I mean, I can't not root for them. And Couch went up there, you know, all that
right.
stuff. So, I mean, I can't hate the Browns.
My second favorite team is the Packers. So when the Browns left for Baltimore, the Packers were the team I chose to root for because I like Brett Favre. So they've kind of been my second team since then.
Right.
First NFL jersey I ever had was Brett Favre.
Me too.
Packers.
Me too. Yeah.
First one I ever had is a Reggie White Packers jersey.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
So all of us in here, first NFL jersey was a Packers jersey. I don't know about you, Jay.
There you go.
I think Favre might have been my first one, maybe.
There you go.
Probably.
There you go.
But I had a Cobb jersey. I had a Reggie White. Oh, I still have. But yeah, I've had a few of them. But just to go ahead and get into things, the Cat Scan podcast is the podcast of these two gentlemen, along with Travis Graff. How did you guys get started with your podcast?
Well, it's kind of all just kind of came together. So I don't know, maybe 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe, I started getting to know Travis a little bit. Just, we had some mutual friends, and then with kind of what he was doing with, you know, kind of trying to make his way with Rivals and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Started to get to know him a little bit. And then he said, I'm wanting to get like a little group chat together of some guys that I know are big UK football fans. And I said, yeah, man, that'd be great. So he put me in there, and I suggested he put Burke in there too. I said, Burke's a lot of fun. You know, he's a big UK fan, and I'm from Prestonsburg.
Y'all give him a lot of hell on that podcast.
Well, yeah. Listen, he gets, and he should probably admit to this, he gets about 10% of the hell that he actually deserves.
Okay.
Yeah, I do get a lot out there. I do. But I do deserve some of it. I'll give him that.
Well, I mean, especially with the last 2 weeks, you know, we talk about the Florida and LSU games where you bailed on those. Two of the biggest games. games in the history of Kentucky. and they even told you after the Florida game, if they won the Florida game, they would buy you a ticket to LSU.
I know.
And you
still didn't go. You deserve it. That's the 10%.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, Travis had talked about wanting to do a podcast, knowing kind of where he wanted to go in his career with that end of things. He wanted to, you know, he needed to talk to people more and kind of get used to doing some of that kind of stuff. So he and I had talked about it, and I thought, yeah, why not? You know, I'm 40 years old. I'm a sales guy. Like, just, I always love talking about it. So it'd be fun to kind of help him, you know, try to jumpstart his career some. So we put it together and started doing it. And then, I don't know, after maybe close to a year, we felt like it was getting kind of stale. I mean, we had good guests and stuff like that. Right. And we had gotten to know Bert pretty well from our group chat. And we had him on the show two or three different times. And we just thought, man, what if we brought Bert in to do some with us and kind of see how it goes? And we really enjoyed it, had a really good time, and we got great feedback from it. So then it kind of just went from there, and we've been doing it that way ever since.
The show is great. Big Blue Nation, if you get a chance, check it out. The Cat Scan Podcast. It's great, man. I crack up. And I'm that guy, too. I love to laugh and be silly. We podcast sports, and I'm the jokester. Like, JD is the voice of reason. But the sports talk is amazing. The laughter, the chemistry, you guys, it's a great podcast. So check that out.
Absolutely, you guys saying that. Yeah, man.
Appreciate that. I'm definitely not the voice of reason. So.
Yeah, me either. Me either. And Bert, I think
he's the most reactionary. He is the most reactionary human being on the face of the planet. He is. He's sky high, or he is lowest of lows.
I could drink with BZ.
No doubt.
He's that guy. Like, just to have a great time with. And so yeah.
See, and I'm the guy that's got to. I got to kind of keep Jay level.
Yeah.
I'm like, Final Four. Yeah. And he's like,
I gotta grab his feet when he starts floating too high and bring him back down. So he's not like crazy.
I'm like,
I gotta reel in a little bit of that crazy.
I'm super optimistic and a little bit of that crazy, but I like to have fun with it. But,
you gotta have a little bit of both. Too,
right. I mean,
winning material, right?
Right. There. Right. And to kick into the football segment, I was the one saying that we was gonna beat Georgia. I called Marty Smith out on Twitter saying, come on the podcast where we could talk about Kentucky beating Georgia. and I was that guy. But it's more of that wishful thinking and hoping.
Right.
And trying to believe, you know, I'm that guy, and everybody's like,
he's a habitual.
Don't say it at work, you'll be drug tested. Calm down.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I just want to.
Right.
We don't want to be known as that crazy podcast.
So right. Basically, all the time he's going 30%, Jay, 30%. But to get into football, what do you guys think so far the first half of the Kentucky football season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could be any happier or more proud or more excited or whatever adjective you want to put in there with how the first half has gone. I mean, you hate to see a couple of the injuries that have happened, but, you know, hopefully at this point that none of them seem season ending. That's the only kind of downer. Everything else has been on such an upward positive trajectory throughout the whole time. And it just being able to step back and look now, man, we're 6-1, ranked 12th in the country, and we've got a chance to finish this out like we've never done before. I mean, that's
right.
You can't ask for anything else. And that's, as a fan, that's what you've hoped for and prayed for and wished for and cried about, you know, all that stuff for years.
Right.
It's the opportunity to be able to be in these conversations and to talk playoffs and New Year's Six Bowls and not be, you know, looked at like you need to be committed. So I couldn't be any more excited.
And not only are we Kentucky's 6-1, and they really haven't played their best football.
No.
Outside of maybe one game when we're talking about LSU. That was probably the most complete game they've played all year, and they're 6-1. So there's still room for improvement. There's still room for that ceiling to be higher because they're doing stuff and not playing their best football.
I don't know about you all, but I'm ready to build the stoop statue. Let's get on.
Yeah, break ground.
Be channeling Jay over here with the positivity. Let's start on that statue.
Right. Right.
Let's start with just the indoor football facility first.
Right.
Yeah. And yes, an out pay exactly. raise at the end of the year.
Right.
And that
we'll
goes.
We'll start with that, and then we'll see about doing that statue.
That goes with the contract.
This program, though, are unbelievable.
Oh yeah,
they really are.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially from where it was when he took over after Joker Phillips. So I'm more than happy with where we're at and where the projection of the program, what it looks like.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got recruiting guys making picks for Kentucky to get Barry and Brown over Alabama, you know, Dane Key next week, this Friday, this Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are confident in him coming. We're in the, and I know we had Bear Bryant, but we are probably in the best era of football at the University of Kentucky right now. Because when you go back to the Bear Bryant days, football wasn't as big as what it is now.
No.
The athletes weren't as good. The training wasn't the same. So comparing eras like that, you know, it's kind of apples and oranges. But what Kentucky is now able to do with what the SEC is now, I don't think there's been a better time for Kentucky football or set up for a better future as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you just have to look at it, like you kind of, like you said, in perspective, where this program, you know, goes from a MAC level roster. I mean, we're literally the guys. Yeah, at best. We've been in the middle of the road MAC team. Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget. And I know people bring it up all the time, but I'm sitting there with my buddy at the Vanderbilt game when there's, you know, maybe 5,000 people all said and done in the stands, and it's cold, and I feel like the snot my nose is about to be a dumber and dumber, you know, where it's frozen. And I'm looking at my buddy and it's just like, man, this is like as low as it gets. At some point something's got to change or this is going to be miserable for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it did. And I
had considered buying tickets to go to that game because I was in Lexington that weekend. And I don't remember what I was down there for, but I was in Lexington that weekend and we ended up meeting up with a buddy of ours and we went to Roosters down there on Nicholasville Road. And that's where I watched the game, was at Roosters. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, it's cold, it's raining. I am glad I did not buy tickets to go watch this.
Joker was a great guy. Not a good football coach.
Not a good head coach.
Right.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. So with 6-1 the first half of the season, now we're going after this bye week, we're going getting into the second half. Where do you guys see us winning out, or do you see us dropping one maybe to Tennessee? Tennessee's looking tough. Going into this weekend, I don't want to jump ahead, Mississippi State. Favorite, we're underdogs. Yeah, underdogs, yep, in that game.
I personally got us winning out. But I mean, I could
see it going a few different ways. I mean, the Mississippi State game is a game I've been worried about since the schedule came out. You look at it, and on one hand, you think, okay, you got Georgia, then you have a bye, and you go to Mississippi State. But on the other hand, it's like almost there's a lag when you come out of that bye. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State, this is a huge, huge game for Mississippi State. Like, this is a season-making game for them at this point, which is crazy to say. It's a night game there. So, I mean, there's a lot of, and if you just look at like the X's and O's portion of it, what they like to do offensively is what we let teams do. But most teams aren't comfortable dinking and dunking for four quarters down the field. They are. That's what they do. I mean, they're not the typical big play air raid offense. They're the dink and dunk air raid offense. So I think defensively, it's not a great matchup for us. So that game worries me. And then, yeah, you're right. Tennessee is he's done a remarkable job down there with the guys they lost and all that. They still have a talented roster, which is what people, you know, I think people still need to keep in mind, like, they're not void of talent down there just because they had a bunch of guys enter the portal and those kinds of things. They still have players, but the way that they were able to exploit Alabama last night, kind of going over the top, you know, three different times, had to worry you a little bit, man. And the way that Hendon Hooker, he's got a lot of confidence right now. The way he's using his legs like he never has before. Those two games scare me. I think the other three, I feel really good about. Even Louisville, I know they're better than maybe what we thought they were early, but I still feel like in inches we dominate that Louisville game and they just can't compete. But yeah, I'm nervous about it, honestly.
Well, maybe Leach will be hopped up on the candy.
There you go. Yeah, dude, that guy's so crazy, man. Guy's so crazy. I know Burke is his biggest fan.
Now, that's you. Now, Kalen, you're his biggest fan now. Come on.
I think he's great for a soundbite, but he also wears me out in a lot of ways too. Like, I don't know, man. We'll see what they're able to do long term there. I've never really believed that offense could do, or that system overall could do in the SEC what it needs to do. So he's been about what I expected so far. We'll see the more players he gets in there and that kind of stuff. But the guy's a soundbite waiting to happen. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why they're asking crazy questions instead of asking him. I mean, you know,
right?
They've got a quarterback.
They do, but you were talking about his system not working in the SEC long term. Remember, he was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And the best we ever did during that time was 7-5, 7-6, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Whatever. So it wasn't like that system brought, you know, great success to Kentucky when it was being ran back then. And that was at a time when that offense was completely different than any offense that anybody else was running anywhere in the country. So we talked about this, I think it was last week, how this season really comes down to two games. It comes down to the Mississippi State game and it comes down to the Tennessee game. Because if you want to get to that New Year's Six level bowl and have your name in the conversation for the playoff, those are two games you've got to have. Because the last three games of the season, you should have no problem winning those games because you are far and away the more talented and better team. I think we're more talented and better and a better team than Mississippi State. But I think, we haven't won it at Mississippi State since, 2008 or something like that?
It's been a minute, yeah.
So, I mean, it's always a tough place for Kentucky to go down and play. And the Lynn Bowden year, you know, they went down there with Sawyer Smith at quarterback, banged up, and you know, they lost that game pretty big when it wasn't expected to be like that. So, you know, crazy things happen when Kentucky goes to Starkville. So am I scared of that game? I'm not really scared of that game, but I could see, you know, the ghosts of Kentucky past rearing their head in Starkville just because of the history there. Tennessee, I don't know what to expect from Tennessee. Is it going to be first half against Alabama, Tennessee, or is it going to be Florida second half against Alabama, Tennessee?
I'll say this about Tennessee. Their offense does worry me a little bit, and Heupel's play calling. I mean, they've got a pretty legitimate offense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they do. It's definitely better than what was expected coming into the season. But I think our defensive line and our offensive line are physical enough to kind of exploit what they do and not get overwhelmed and not let them run for 250 yards on the ground like they were averaging before the Alabama game last night.
Right.
So, and Alabama's not a great running team, but they seem to have some success running the ball against Tennessee last night. So if they win, they win. But I mean, at the end of the day, the worst we can expect from this team is 9-3. And that's if they shit the bed in the next two games and lose them,
right,
which I don't see happening.
That's a disappointment at this point. That's a disappointment.
Yeah, it would be. It would be, you know, especially to who they would be losing those games to when you're talking about Mississippi State and Tennessee after beating Florida and LSU. So, I mean, at the beginning of the season, Jay picked 10-2.
Yeah.
I personally, without seeing anything else, I was like, I don't want to look at anything else. Well, I'll make my pick now. I picked 8-4 just because I wasn't sure what we would get from the offensive side of the ball.
Right. I'm saying 11-1 now because the look in Will Levis's face after that Georgia game.
Something changed. Something changed with Will Levis from
whenever I hear
what we saw before.
Stoops should stay at Kentucky because the fans' expectations are so low. See, I disagree with that because I think our expectations are raising each year. Like, I don't want to go back to 6-6. I wouldn't be satisfied with that every year.
Right.
That's national writers that aren't in the program and haven't really been around the program that say that.
That's not a
that's not a true statement. Like, that is not people. We would boo at 6-6,
right?
We would boo at 7. I mean, at this point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not.
Yeah.
But the guys that say that are the pundits that, right, you know, just it, that's an easy soundbite. Like, that sounds good for years. You know, Kentucky's a basketball school. So, nah, that's, I hate when I hear that. I'm kind of with you on that, Bert. Yeah. I said I had us at 9-3. I had us losing. I had us beating LSU. I had us losing to Florida. And I had us losing to Georgia. And then I had us losing to Mississippi State. That was what I had before the season, what I had. Right. So, you know, it's gone better than I expected, even, you know, at this point. So,
right.
It's fun, though, man. It's fun that it matters.
It's right fun.
Now, right. Like, that's the thing. It matters.
Yeah. And we can have these playoff discussions, and it's just, you know.
It's not crazy.
Right. With that, is there any scenario where Kentucky would get into the playoffs? Is there some scenarios out there that
I think there's a scenario.
I think there is, too.
I've been calling it yeah, when I've been talking about it, I've been calling it the chaos scenario.
Wow, I like it.
But here's what would have to happen. And part of it happened this weekend. Penn State lost, which was really good for us. Here's what we need. You know,
Oklahoma State.
It really comes down to the Big Ten.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't even count them. I think Oklahoma wins out and they'll get a spot regardless. So I don't even, like, if that happens, great. That's icing on the cake. But really, because Oregon beat Ohio State, I think that opens the door for the Big Ten to shit the bed, basically. I mean, I think you got Penn State now with two losses. Mm-hmm. You got Michigan State play next week. So one of them are going to have a loss. Let's say Michigan beats Michigan State. I think they're better. We'll see. But they both have to play Ohio State again after that. So you think, I mean, there's another loss for one of them. Somebody just has to beat Ohio State. Ohio State gets one more loss, everybody in the Big Ten is going to end up with two losses. And then in that scenario, they're not going to put a one-loss Kentucky team on the outside and put a two-loss Big Ten team in at that point, I don't think.
Right.
But we also have to have Ole Miss has got to lose again because their resume is better than ours. It just is. Right. So they've got to lose again. They've got a tough schedule. They got A&M who
They could still lose two more games. They could lose to Auburn and A&M.
Auburn this week, yeah. And so there are games out there. And Mississippi State, that Egg Bowl is I mean, that's going to be a tough one. They're not going to show up. And I mean, it may be 170 points scored between the two teams, but it's not, you know, it's not going to, they're not going to just run all over them, I don't think. So there's a scenario where that happens. Then I think, obviously, you've got to have Alabama in the SEC championship and Georgia beats them to give them their second loss. And then that puts them behind us in the pecking order. I think Cincinnati, I mean, SMU is deep. Decent, but Cincinnati's got to really stub its toe to lose. And let's face it, guys, their best win is still better than our best win. Notre Dame, I think, is a fraud in a lot of ways, but winning at Notre Dame is still, it's still better than any win that we have, you know, I mean, which sucks at this point. But, you know, Florida ended up not being as good as we needed them to be. LSU's not who we needed them to be. Missouri's not who we needed them to be. So I think, you know, Cincinnati's in, obviously Georgia's in, and then I'm saying Oklahoma's in. Baylor's decent. Oklahoma State's decent. Iowa State's decent. If they lose, that's just gravy, I think. But at the end of the day, I think it all comes down to the Big Ten, honestly.
The chaos theory.
I love it. Yeah. So what were your thoughts? What were your thoughts, JD?
I'm kind of along the same lines. To get into the playoff, it's got to be only one team from the SEC above you to get in. So it's got to be somebody from the West getting a second loss in the SEC title game to Georgia. So that knocks them out of the playoff contention. And then it's got to be somebody in the Big Ten with two losses, a champion from the Big Ten having two losses, because a one-loss SEC or Big Ten champion is getting into the playoff. Yep. So then you're going to have Georgia you want Georgia, you have Oklahoma, you have the Big Ten champ, then there's one spot left. And unless stuff happens above you, you're going to be on the outside looking in, probably around 6 or 7 is what I was thinking. But Cincinnati would have to lose. Who else?
Cincinnati. It's crazy because Cincinnati hadn't played anyone.
So they beat Notre Dame on the road. So that's a better win than us beating Florida or LSU at home.
Right.
Yeah. And then they're still going to have, I mean, you know, the SMU win is still going to be a good win and still may be a better win than we have.
Because it's going to be over a ranked team, because I believe SMU's ranked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think Ole Miss is going through the season without another loss. So they're going to have at least one, if not two more losses.
Yeah. That Auburn matchup is a good one.
That Auburn one and Texas A&M, because Texas A&M, since that Alabama game, has looked like Texas A&M before they played Arkansas. So they played a lot
better. That's who everybody expected at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot that has to happen for Kentucky to get into that conversation. But if Kentucky wins out and they're 11-1, no matter what else happens, you're still going to be in that conversation. You know, you're
sure.
At 11-1 in the SEC and only being behind Georgia in the East, you have to be in the conversation. Right. Just like Texas A&M was last year, being behind Alabama in the West with that one loss. So it puts you in the conversation no matter what happens. But there's a lot that has to happen to get you into the playoff.
Even being in the conversation is a chaos, step forward.
Man. It's got to be chaos.
It's got to be complete and utter chaos. Yes. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So, absolutely. I'm saying 11.
Man, I'm here for it.
I'm saying 11 chaos. And 1.
That's all we want, right? I mean,
right.
Right.
And even if you.
I love it, Jay. I love it.
If Kentucky takes another loss and they finish 10-2, you're still being in the conversation for one of those New Year's Six games.
Right.
Right. Especially if this happens and, you know, Alabama and Georgia playing the SEC title game.
Yeah.
And Alabama beats Georgia.
At that point, you want
Alabama to beat Georgia.
You want Alabama to win.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Because then that puts two teams in the playoffs.
Sure. Right.
You know, and then you're going to have two SEC teams that are going to be going into New Year's Six games. So there's a whole lot of scenarios around this Kentucky football program that we've never had to consider or been able to consider as Kentucky football fans.
Right. And you heard it.
And in 2 or 3 years, in 2023 or 2024, when they go to 12 teams.
If it does now, though. Yeah. If it does. And that's the thing. I don't know. Now that Texas and Oklahoma jump ship, I think that there's a lot of incentive for the Big 12 not to want to do it and for the Big 10 to not to want to do it at this point.
Right, because then potential you get 3 or 4 SEC teams into –
Right, right now they've pretty much got a lot, you know, conference championships get looked at, you know, right. Blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting for sure.
I think it needs to expand, but I never thought it needed to go to 12. I was always
– 8 was always
– that's where I was at. Do an 18 play. Off where you have the 5 Power 5 conference champions automatically in. You win your conference championship, you're in the playoff, and then 3 at large. That's the simplest way to do it.
Yeah, I even think you do the five conference champions, then you do if a non-Power 5, a group of 5, whatever they want to call it, is ranked, let's say, in the top 12 or top 10 or whatever that number needs to be, then they're automatically in the highest one, because we all like to see the David versus Goliath matchup.
Right.
That takes, okay, you expand, you open up another spot, you put that best, the best of the rest in there, and you give them a shot, and then you have 2 at large to go there. But yeah, 8 was kind of what I always saw too.
Me too. I think that's the perfect number for a football playoff, and with the way the system is set up now. And you don't, like, the argument was, well, what about the bowls? The bowl system can still be there. Like, it's still there now. You still have bowls that go into the championship game. You just add 2 more bowls. It's not that hard.
Yeah, and you play it. You play them on the campus of the higher seed, the first round, if you want to, and then you get to the Final Four, and it's the bowls and the champion, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah,
I like it. What do you think, BZ? 11-1.
Well, the way I look at it too is I see 11-1. I do. You know, if we got to 11-1 and we get snubbed out of the playoff, it's gonna sting. But golly, man, Sugar Bowl or Fiesta Bowl or something like that, still an awful good prize at the end of the season. But man, you would think about, though, we were just right there on that playoff doorstep.
Right. I'm happy with just being in the conversation, because I think that's a step forward for Kentucky football. I'm with 11-1 and big things to happen, and I love the chaos scenario.
Let's hope it happens, boys.
Yes.
But none of it matters if we don't win the next 2 weeks. None of it matters.
Exactly.
Right.
So we have to take care of our own business before we start really thinking about what can happen at the end of the season.
Right. So we're getting ready for the second half of football, and now basketball is coming onto the scene. Just a little bit of what you guys are seeing. I know it's hard to take away from, like, Big Blue Madness, the blue and white game. It's hard to take a lot of things from that. But just from what you guys have seen, what do you think this year? Final Four? They're like, damn.
Listen, if Shane Jart plays this season, I'm going to say title favorites too.
Wow. Wow. No, in all seriousness, no. What do you guys,
I mean,
from what you've seen, what do you think?
I say Final Four in all seriousness. Christmas.
Yeah, me too, really. Me too.
I mean, what I really like,
yeah, go ahead, Cam.
It's just too early to tell me. Like, I haven't seen anybody else at this point. But what I do like is, I think the one thing that we could take away from the blue-white game above all else is we can see what Cal wants to do offensively, how he wants to play, how fast he wants to play offensively, how he wants to play with four bigs, around one big, basically. That was a pretty telling to me. All the other stuff, I mean, those guys were gassed. They were playing. They didn't sub in and out.
They did not.
Right.
There's a lot going on, but that was my one big takeaway that I loved, to see. And I think it's huge for this team. I think this team's set up for that, especially with the shooting and those kinds of things this year. So I feel good going into the season, but it's way too early to know how good I should feel at this point.
I think what you have to look at when you're talking about the blue-white game is the first 10 minutes of each half, because they didn't sell. So especially the second half. So in the second half, that blue team was the starting, what most people are expecting the starting five to be. You're talking about Wheeler, Ty, Brooks, Oscar, and Grady. And that lead went from 10 or whatever it was at halftime to 23 in a blink of an eye, because of the way they were getting up and down the floor, the way they were shooting. Like, that's what I took away from that game, is how fast they played, how well they were able to shoot the ball, because Keon shot the ball well, Damian Collins shot the ball well, Ty shot the, like, everybody that was shooting shot the ball well when you're talking about the three-point shooters. Dante struggled a little bit from shooting the three, but he looked better offensively. He looked quicker. His handles looked better. His shot looked faster. Oscar was just a beast on the boards. Nobody was taking a rebound from him except for Damian Collins one time, which I think even Oscar was shocked about that, because he looked back at the crowd at the baseline. He's like, what the hell just happened? Damian Collins just ripped the ball away from me. But just like you, like, you can see the way they want to play on the offensive end this year with four round one. There was very few times there were two bigs, whether, it's Keon or Damian or whatever in there in the paint at the same time, Oscar or whoever else was. And it seemed like they were wanting to play with a little bit more ball pressure than they have in the past under Calipari.
Which they should. If you go 10 deep and you've got a roster where you need to find minutes for guys, I think you need to force the issue as much as possible.
That's huge. Wheeler's going to be a pest on the defensive end, because the way he gets up into the opposing point guard, he was causing a lot of problems for Davion. So there were, Davion and Wheeler were a little careless with the ball at times. I think Wheeler ended up having five turnovers in that game, but he had 11 assists or whatever it was. I'll take a 2-to-1 assist ratio. But I can see what this team could possibly be. I can see where that ceiling can be Final Four.
Right.
I can what I saw Friday night at the game, I can see what everybody's excited about. And that was without Toppin and CJ Frederick on the floor.
Yeah. Bryce Hopkins is going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like him. Hopkins.
Yeah. He's smooth with the ball. Like, that spin move that he's got when he's driving in there, he reminds me so much of PJ Washington, the way he plays the game around the rim. He's always able to get that ball. He gets that tough rebound. He's able to get that put back or whatever. And I thought that, you can ask Jay, I thought that since way back before he committed, we were talking about, the way he plays the game, that he reminded me of PJ Washington. So he's definitely going to get minutes this year. He's going to force Cal to have to play him, especially after what we saw Friday night. I think he had 18 points or whatever it was. So yeah, there's a lot of excitement around the basketball team, as there should be.
Lance Ware looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He looked improved. So, and you got Oscar in warmups before the game consistently hitting 15 to 18 foot jumpers and not looking awkward doing it. There's a lot of things to be excited about with this team after watching Big Blue Madness, after watching the blue white game. And I know it's just a scrimmage and it's just a practice.
After coming off of last year.
Coming off of last year, I can see why there's so much excitement from the staff and the people around the program.
I'll say this too. Sevier Wheeler, 17 assists in one game, single game assist record, busting John Wall. It's going to happen. I can't wait for it to happen so I can be right about something. No, but everybody's excited. Football, the second half, we're getting into it. Basketball, we're back. You know, no fans in the stands. Now we got fans in the stands and things. We got a summer. These guys are creating chemistry. It's going to be fun. And I look forward to 11-1 and going to the Final Four.
Let's go. I love it. I love just the sound of that, man.
Thank you guys for joining us, man. I appreciate it, man. I'm a big fan of your podcast, the Cat Scan podcast. Tune in to that. I'm always tuned in.
For sure, man. For sure. Yeah, appreciate you guys having us, man. This is fun. I always love just chopping it up a little bit and not to be too serious, but
right,
have a good
right.
time at the same time.
Right, right.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I listen to y'all's every week, too. It's a fun time.
If you want to laugh.
Well, you all do it a little different too, but you know, you insert the noises and the sounds.
Yeah,
and stuff. That's a cool little touch there.
But I'm tuned in, and Big Blue Nation, tune in as well. The Cat Scan podcast with Kalen Harris and Bert Beasy Franklin.
Yeah,
and
you Travis guys Graham. Do a little bit more breakdown.
Oh yeah,
like play breakdown than what we do. We talk about it like we're two dudes in a bar.
Just
talking about what just went down in the game, like, you know, you got Kalen talking about motions and
I'm completely
different formations
and
this stuff, and I'm like, hey, whatever.
Boys, yeah. I didn't know what 11 personnel was until like last month. I'm not even kidding.
He starts talking. I'm like, wait, maybe I should rethink this shit. I'm like,
I forget what Mike and Sam linebackers are. So,
you
know,
there you go.
The 11, 12, 23, you know, those personnel groupings, I know that. I understand that. You know, you're talking about the tight ends and the running backs and all that stuff. So that stuff I understand. But when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, and trying to remember what the Mike and Sam linebackers are, it's like,
I'm just like C-ball, hit ball. I saw that.
Right. You know, I stopped playing football going into seventh grade because I was 5'2" and I weighed like 80 pounds. So I was like, man, this game is not for me anymore.
I've got an engineer's brain, though. I need to know the why. Like, I was always the kid that says, okay, that's how you do it, but why do you do it that way? So that's like
the unanswerable question.
Right. You got a great radio voice, too.
It's turning my head.
You have like a great radio. Yeah, definitely.
You're like that 3-year-old that's asking their dad, but why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a 2-year-old right now.
I'm screaming 11-1.
That question can never be answered because you can always say why. Yeah. Why? Right. Why? After you answer, and they're like, but why?
I'm screaming 11-1. Kalen starts talking. I'm like, I got to rethink all this shit again. Definitely.
It's there for the taking. That's the thing. Like, it really and truly is. It's not, I have been heartbroken so many times that I've tried so hard, overly hard sometimes, to see all sides of it. Like, okay, what could go wrong so I can prepare myself for that? Right. Not expecting it, not being pessimistic, but like, okay, this is what could go wrong. How can we combat that? Okay, now I feel better. You know, that kind
Right. Well, Big Blue Nation, tune in to
it's been fun, guys.
Cat Scan Podcast.
It's been great having you guys on. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Minus the third amigo with Travis dipping out today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Trav.
That's the one issue to come on our podcast half
the time. Yeah, that's the one issue that we have with the Cat Scan is we are all so busy. I mean, Burke and I both. Burke's got a little one. I've got two little ones. Travis has got three jobs outside of his real job, so it's like figuring out how to. Because we have a great time when we do it, you know. It's
just
that's the one.
We've tried to get Travis on here, and that is the same thing. Like, he's so busy.
Everyone's work schedules just don't connect.
So. He's scouting all day today for Made Hoops. I mean, he's, you know.
We were normally recording on Wednesdays because that's my day off. But we've recently just switched it up. We're just doing it Sunday. But some days, like, because I work every other weekend and I don't get home till 5:30. And then we're not recording till 7. And then I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning for work.
Right.
You know, every other Sunday is kind of rough. So it's nice being able to get this done before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you can just relax and get laid back and get a bed when you need to.
I got to do my work laundry, so I got to throw that in when we're done here. But it's nice not having to worry about it in, you know, another hour and a half. Oh, okay, we're going to be recording. So, but I understand with Travis and how busy he is because, you know, with Rivals and, you know, his regular job and the Made Hoops thing. Because when we tried to get him on, that was when the Indianapolis event was getting ready to start.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't pushed the issue with him trying to get him on here again since just because I know how busy he is. So.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to nail him down, man. I mean, he runs himself too thin sometimes, and that's, you know, something I always try to dude, it's okay to say no sometimes.
Right. Right.
I don't know. But
yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen,
that's what we were expecting Marty Smith to tell us last week was, "Now, man, I can't do it."
Yeah.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Marty's an awesome. I'm a huge Marty Smith fan.
I told him, "Did your account get hacked?" Because I was like, "Oh shit!" He replied.
Yeah.
Right. Oh no.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I saw that too. I was like, "Oh wow."
Yeah, man. Thank you guys so much, man. I tune in to check you out, man. Yeah, quit giving Beasy such a hard time, man. He's a great guy,
dude. Like, listen, I'm telling you, if you only knew the full extent of it, uh-oh, you would say, "I can't believe you guys take it so easy on him."
until Bert brings his ass to a game.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Give him all the shit you want to give him.
Exactly.
I wish y'all could see the DMs and the messages that go on behind you. I hope they don't expose me like John Gruden. That's all I gotta say.
Wow. The Cascan Podcast, ridiculous. Guys. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. The Cat Scan Podcast, Big Blue Nation. Make sure you tune into that, man. Kalen Harris, Bert Deasy Franklin, and Travis Graff. Those guys are great, man. Their podcast is like how we chop it up, man. They do so much in depth on Kentucky sports, and they're friends. The chemistry is fun. It's just a great podcast. Tune into that, the Cat Scan Podcast.
It's similar to what we do, but with a little bit more
X's and O's. Right.
And X's and O's, yeah.
Kalen's great. Travis is great. Yeah. Burke is awesome. He's just great energy. I love it, man. But yeah. So that's where we're at. Of course, you know, I'm hoping on 11-1. My prediction was 10-2. It's there for the taking. Tell you, like I mentioned, the look in Will Levis's eyes after that Georgia game, he was not satisfied. He had the hope that I had, saying that we could beat Georgia. I saw it in his eyes. He had that look like, no, this is not, we're better than this.
I mean,
and that's why I think that they can win out.
The final score said 30-13, but two plays made it 30-13, right? Not picking up the fumble and not blocking for the screen for C-Rock.
The block, yeah.
So those two plays.
Right.
You take 7 off the board for them.
Right.
You give us 7, and now you're talking 23-20. It's a different game. It's a different narrative coming out of that game.
Right. The look that Will Levis has tells me that this team is going for it.
Yeah. There was a change in Will Levis going into the LSU game.
Yeah.
With his comfort, I think.
I was about to say, he's looking more and more comfortable.
So he's getting off that first read to his second read a whole lot quicker than he did before that. So
very smart young man.
Very smart young man. So that's why, you know, I worry about the next two games, but I don't think I have the level of worry of some others in the fan base. And at the end of the day, it's just a football game.
Right. You're right.
You know, if Kentucky loses, they lose. I'm not going to lose my mind over it. I know there's going to be members of the fan base that will lose their mind over it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's a football game.
Right.
There are more important things going on in life.
That's right.
Than to lose your mind over a game.
Right.
So keep that in perspective as you're watching the games the next 2 weeks. Whatever happens, happens.
Well, I mean, what people ask me all the time, why do you think that I make these crazy predictions? Because I'm having fun with it. I'm mm-hmm. rooting for my team. I'm trying to speak it into existence, hoping for the best for my team that I love, which is the University of Kentucky. So I'm always picking these, you know, and the, you know, people, and they get mad sometimes, like, just crazy. That's just crazy. I'm like, what, rooting for your team? Is it crazy?
But
like,
you got, what? I mean, fan comes from the fanatic.
Right.
Right? So if we aren't out there supporting our team, and we aren't making, you know, Jay, your crazy predictions. Right.
I am crazy, though.
Then we're not we're not doing justice to what we are.
Right.
Because we are fanatics for a certain team.
Right.
So, and that goes for everybody.
Right.
But don't let it ruin your week or your month or your whatever. Your, you know, over a game.
Right.
You know, it took me a long time to get to that point to where a loss in football or basketball didn't ruin my entire day or my entire weekend.
Right.
It's not to say I don't get upset anymore.
Right.
But I have a better perspective of what's going on, and I chose to not let that ruin my life, ruin my weekend, ruin my day.
Right.
And it's been better for it. I'm still as big a fan as I was before I made that conscious choice to make that change.
Right.
But I feel better.
Right.
Having made that change.
I tell you, man, regardless, even through the worst of last year, I was still rooting.
We both were.
You know? Yeah. And that's where I'm at now. It's like, you know, 11-1. Yeah, let's go for it. Final mm-hmm. four. Let's do it. You know, Sevier Willer having these 17 assists, single game record, you know, beating John Wall. That's good stuff.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm rooting for it. You know, so exactly. I'm excited. But with all this excitement, even in a bye week, we still have dumb shit.
Which, I think we're always going to have dumb shit.
Which leads us to the dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
What do you got, Jay?
You tell me what you got.
Because you be
sniping them out, like, and you send them to him, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's some dumb shit. Let me talk about this real quick in the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. You were on a couple-day argument with a Twitter person.
I was.
What happened?
Yeah, let's start with this. We were going to end with this, but let's start with this. So there's been a lot of talk over the last couple of days about Kentucky doing something to memorialize Terrence Clark and Ben Jordan or whatever.
Right.
I think Berkeley's Pop, Brandon King, you know, put something up there about having to, about them doing something for those guys. And you go down and start reading the comments, and there were quite a few people who were in disagreement for doing that. I retweeted one of those dudes and I said, if you don't think that they should do something to memorialize Terrence Clark, then you're a special kind of POS.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is.
Who is the person? Call him out.
I don't know who that person was. Let me go back and see if I can find that tweet real quick.
Because that's what the dumbest shit from Twitter this week is about, calling.
That's what started the whole Twitter argument was that retweet.
Right.
I had a lot of tweets after that for that issue.
Right.
But let me go. I'm almost there.
Long argument.
Long way back.
JD was arguing with these people for 2 days.
Really, I was only arguing with one dude for 2 days. Well, now I can't find it.
Delete. he might have deleted that.
Yeah, I can't find it. But it was a dude that replied to Brandon. Oh, here it is. I said, if you don't think memorializing TC isn't an honor that the young man deserves, you're POS. Putting his name up there has nothing to do with team success, you moron. He is and always will be a beloved member of the BBA.
Facts.
This one, I retweeted Lloyd Harvey, who said he never did anything to deserve a jersey retirement. The team was a disaster. Nobody said retire his jersey, right?
Memorialize.
I understand what's been put up in the rafters in the past was a jersey.
Right.
You're retiring a jersey for team and personal accomplishments.
Right.
You're right. So I had a dude come at me for 2 days. Ryan Lemon's angry neighbor. Saying I didn't understand what putting his name up there was. That if they put his name up there, it's a jersey.
Right.
No, you idiot. I understand what's been done in the past. But they can make an exception. And if they want to put Ben Jordan on it, great. I'm all for it. Put Ben Jordan's name on there too. Because that loss of that teammate affected the team last year.
Right.
There's no doubt about it in my mind that Ben Jordan's death affected those guys that played with him.
Let me say, these players are family.
They are family. That's why we're the BBN, right? I understand what's up there now are jerseys.
Right.
But putting a banner up there with Terrence Clark and possibly Ben Jordan's name doesn't have to be a jersey retirement. They can make an exception for two kids who tragically lost their lives last year as a part of the BBN.
Right.
There's going to be guys, there's going to be fans coming through Rupp Arena who don't know who Terrence Clark and don't know who Ben Jordan are.
Right.
And if you put a banner up there memorializing Ben Jordan and Terrence Clark saying, you know, whatever you wanted to say, in loving memory, always a part of the BBN, always a part of the Kentucky family, whatever you want to put on that banner, it does not have to be a jersey retirement.
Right.
There can be an exception made for that.
Right. He wanted to argue.
To come on my Twitter and call me a dumb like I'm the one that doesn't understand what the hell's going on.
Right.
The guy's, he was a special kind of stupid.
Right.
In that whole situation.
Right.
Because he couldn't separate a banner to memorialize a player or two.
Right.
And a jersey retirement.
Right.
In his mind, they had to be the same. I never once said that they need to retire his jersey. Are there others that are saying they need to retire his jersey? Yeah. But did I say that? No, I did not. I said they needed to do something to memorialize him. Whatever it is that they decide to do. And if that's a banner up in the rafters, it doesn't have to be a damn jersey, you idiot.
Right.
It can be a banner with just his name or their names on it, memorializing their loss.
Some people will never get it, JD.
They will never get it.
And you just have to put them on a segment called The Dumbest Shit from Twitter this week.
He just wanted to argue.
Yeah, that's it.
And try and prove that he was smarter than me.
Yeah. Like Patches O'Houlihan said, you got to do the 5 D's. Dodge, whatever. Dodge. But yeah.
Dodge and whatever dodge. It was.
Yeah, these people. Because, there's no getting through to some people, man. You know, and
there isn't.
Twitter is not a real place.
It's not a real place.
So, right.
There was even somebody that came on there and said, what, so you're against them making an exception for this? And he's like, I never said that. We just had a 2-day argument of you saying that exact thing. That they could not put a banner up there because it's a jersey retirement.
Yeah. Some people are special, JD.
Yes. So, I'm going to send Jay those tweets because there are so many of them.
and there's just too many to put in this little segment. So
right,
he's in here, and I've got the tweets if we ever need them. But moving on, so Aaron Torres, which I've had issues with some things that he's put out there, but
right,
not with this. John Calipari said in March, enjoy your time now. Next season is going to come soon enough.
Revenge tour.
Well, next season is here, and I'm not going to lie. Kentucky has some big-time players this year. Stephen C. Jackson replied to him, you said the same thing about BJ Boston. Kentucky is not even a top 15 team annually anymore.
Is that wrong?
And so Torres replied to him, you know, with the whole Steve Carell office gift where he's got his hand in his,
yeah,
his like, face oh in his hand. God. I mean, by definition, annually implies year in and year out. They literally won an SEC title and were fighting for a number one seed roughly less than 20 months ago. Do people forget about the Quickly Maxey team?
They forget. Quickly they forget.
Exactly. That team won the SEC by 3 full games. They finished the year, I believe, 25-6.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And yet, people talk about how last year is what this Kentucky program has become. And Stephen C. Jackson, and last year they were absolute garbage, absolute total trash. And you national media types anoint the kids every year. Sometimes these kids are Zion or AD. Most of the time, they're not. I get why Cal does what he does, but I much prefer the Villanova and Virginia model. So, what you're going to see on the floor for Kentucky this year, where you've got 3 freshmen?
Except being slow, because that is hard basketball to watch, to me.
Right, it is. So, like, saying they're not a top 15 team annually is just stupid when you base it off 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year. And using KenPom to say that they're 17th is dumb, because those analytics change. And I believe if you go down through the record that KenPom projected for Kentucky, like 6 of the losses by 1 point.
Yeah, yeah. That guy every was just happy that Aaron Torres replied to him. Yeah, that's all that was.
Every single one of those losses was on the road.
Yeah. It's dumb shit.
There's so much dumb shit being brought out of the woodwork because Kentucky had one bad season.
Right. In a pandemic year.
In a pandemic year. They had one bad season.
Yeah. Where the kids had no college experience, no Big Blue Madness, nothing.
Segment of Twitter, there is no hope for them.
No.
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 They've lost a few too many brain cells over their years.
They're mad when people stand. They're mad when people kneel. They're mad at everything.
They're just mad.
They're mad.
They want a reason to be pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, I think a lot of these people disguise themselves as Kentucky fans when they're really not. They just like starting that shit.
I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
But that's why he is on, Steven. You were on the dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
And that was all I sent to you. So do you have any more?
No, that was it.
I mean, we could go for days and days
on the dumbest shit from Twitter.
We can go against Vol Twitter again. Because they had some dumb shit come up after the game last night.
Always.
But I don't know if there's a bad part of a fan base that's worse than the bad part of the Volunteer fan base.
Right.
They may be the worst of the worst.
Right. And every fan base has these people. Even Kentucky
has these people.
We see these people.
But I think Tennessee fans take it to an entirely different level than what we see from other fan bases.
Right. They do.
And I feel sorry for those people. It's fun to laugh at them because they're so delusional with what they're seeing and what they're putting out there. And but there are some things that they say, you know, especially after the Tennessee game last night or after the Alabama game last night, that if they were directed towards me or a member of my family,
yeah,
like it wouldn't be just on Twitter anymore,
right?
They better be prepared for me to come find their asses.
We're gonna throw hands.
We're gonna throw more than hands because, like, some of the stuff that I saw them tweet.
Oh yes, this is ridiculous, man.
Was ridiculous,
right?
And there was no need for it.
Yeah,
because Alabama's better than you and curb stomped you in the second half.
Right. I always just got to tell myself that those people are out there. And, mm-hmm. and really not to give them any mind, any play.
We put them
on a segment on our podcast.
The only time I go looking for those people for that dumb shit is for this segment.
Right, right.
Other than that, I ignore it. And if I see something that's going to piss me off on Twitter, I usually scroll past it.
Right.
Until I need to get something for the dumbest shit on Twitter.
Right. We put them on blast.
then I grab something and I'll take a screenshot or I'll share a tweet with you.
Yeah.
So we've got it. No, but
it's crazy out there. It's crazy.
Twitter
is not a real place.
It's not a real place. It's definitely got some people.
Right.
People on it.
So Big Blue Nation, yeah. When you see that dumb shit from Twitter, just keep it moving. Just keep it moving, or screenshot it and send it to us, and we'll call them out and laugh about it on the dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
But make sure if you do that, give us the tweet that they're replying for, so we got a context for what they're replying to and what they're doing.
Right.
So,
and while you're at it, Big Blue Nation, get you a T-shirt, get you a hoodie. The Revenge Tour is here.
Mm-hmm.
ViralStyle.com.
If you just go to ViralStyle, you can just search for Religiously Kentucky. If you want the link for us to send it to you, hit me or Jay up and we'll copy that link and we'll send it to you.
Yep.
I saw the shirts again today and I'm telling you, like, they turned out better than I thought they would.
Hashtag hoodie season. Get you a T-shirt. Get you a hoodie.
I'm really pleased with what I saw from the long sleeve, especially from the long sleeve tees.
Right.
Because I wasn't sure how those were going to turn out, but they turned out really good.
Right. And big shout out to the Cat Scan podcast,
mm-hmm.
Kalen Harris, Burke Beasy Franklin, and Travis Graff. Big shout out to them. Check their podcast out on whatever platform you get your podcast. And check us out wherever you get your podcasts. We are everywhere. And with that being said, I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is
J.D. Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like. And subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.